looking at his word. I am excited about this lesson, and I'm also a little anxious because most of the notes are going to get left in the book. And I don't know that I'm going to look at a whole lot of them. We're talking today about the God of our salvation. We all need salvation. And those of us here, I think I'm looking at an audience. I don't know who's watching online, but I'm looking at an audience that has participated, or at least partially participated, in the salvation plan. But today's lesson is not just about what we talk about when we talk about salvation. We're talking about repentance and baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost, and that's what we emphasize the most when we're talking about salvation. But I don't believe this lesson is talking just about that. As a matter of fact, it's really not mentioned at all in our lesson today. But we have a God that makes a way for salvation in our lives, and it involves more, not to make repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost little. It's very, very important, and I don't want to be misunderstood. It's absolutely critical to participate in repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But the lesson today is talking about that's not the end of us being saved. That's not all it takes for us to be saved. Lord Jesus, help us today as we look at your word. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to see and know and understand your words today. And we give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Did you have a chance to read your cultural connection? Interesting, wasn't it? There is no way that fines like that could be paid. Since I only heard one yes, I'll read through it a little bit here, and let's talk about it. It says, in February of 2018, a 15-year-old young man lobbed fireworks into a canyon. He did not realize he would ignite a fire that would end up burning nearly 47,000 acres in Oregon's Columbia River Gorge. Horrible, horrible. And when the smoke cleared, the judge sentenced the teenager to 1,920 hours of community service. Now, that's doable. 5 years of probation, that's doable. And $36 million fine. And they looked at him and said, that will never be paid. There is no way, or a very small fraction of a way, that young man would ever be able to pay $36 million. There is no way. There is absolutely no way we could pay for the salvation that we have. There is nothing we can do to earn what God gives us. And what he asks of us is so little in comparison to what we receive from him. Our focus thought today is God will give salvation and deliverance to those who live as God desires. Now, I opened with the fact that it's not talking about Acts 2:38. It's not talking about salvation that you find out about in the book of Acts. This lesson is not about that. That is so important, but this lesson isn't about it. We start our salvation by repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But we cannot stay saved if we stop right there. It's not possible. It's not possible. So, God will give salvation and deliverance to those who live as God desires. Our focus verse is in Micah chapter 7 and verse 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. God hears us and knows what's in us. The book of Micah, it's been said over the pulpit several times in the last little while here that these minor prophets, which Micah is one of them, are dealing with letting Israel and Judah and Jerusalem and Samaria know that they really have messed up. And they are going to be put through struggles and trials and persecution, and they're going to be scattered, and horrible things are going to be happening to them because they did not do what our focus thought is talking about. They did not continue to do what God had asked them to do. So I was thinking, in thinking about this lesson, I thought, well, what was salvation for them? Because it was not Acts 2:38. And I don't know that I understand the entire extent of it. But I do know that there were sacrifices involved. And they were to give continually sacrifices. And those sacrifices were offered and their sin was not taken care of. It was covered over and rolled ahead for a year. And they had to go through the same thing again. But where did this relationship, because salvation is a relationship. The relationship between God and the Jewish people started when Abram was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he was given a promise that if he would have faith in God and follow God, that God would take him to a land. And then that promise that I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to take you to a land that you can't see yet, but we are going to go to a land that we haven't seen yet. And so you have all of these comparisons between what actually happened in the Old Testament and what we are looking for to happen in our lives. And then there was a covenant made. And we know that in that covenant, that all of the males of Israel were to be circumcised. And that was the covenant. That was proof of a relationship. And there were times, as you read through Scripture, that circumcision was forgotten about. It didn't happen anymore. I can think succinctly about two situations where circumcision was just put aside. And that was that during the 40 years in the wilderness, none of the boys, the babies, had been circumcised. And before they could go into the promised land, they had to stop and take care of that covenant. They could not go into the promised land. They could not receive what God wanted them to have and what he wanted to give them without participating in a covenant, without making that relationship solid between them and God. And so after they were circumcised, the only thing that I could see that brought their salvation, and I know I may not have seen everything, but it was about sacrifice. It was about you, just the average person, and we are just the average person. The average person took the appropriate sacrifice. Now, it needed to be pure, unblemished, and that. But we were only to take the sacrifice to the priest, and the priest did the rest of it. I can see in my own life, because, you know, I've been around a little while, and I know how I am, that I have to keep working at things. And I have to really work at a relationship with God. And if I only ever did just the letter of the law, every time I needed to take a sacrifice, and it really did sort of boil down to, after the kingdoms were all divided in that, is that sacrifices were taken. How many times did they have to go to Jerusalem, the men? Three times. And two of them, I believe, were back to back. Now, if you only spent time with Jesus, three times, is that a relationship? Oh, my, no. If we want to have a relationship with somebody, we have to talk with them. We have to communicate with them. We have to spend time with them. Because you don't have a relationship if you don't see them. If you don't spend any time with them, there is no relationship. Or there's a very strained one. And so in my mind, and we know because we've read this Old Testament, Israel had a really hard time staying in the path that God wanted them to be in. And they never did it. Not completely. But the only salvation that they could participate in was taking their sacrifices and making sure that what they took was what was required, that it was pure and spotless. And then the men to go three times. And so it is no wonder that when you get to these ends of their times and the ends of the kings and before Israel was scattered and taken captive by the Assyrians, and then before Judah went into Babylon, and all of those things that were said were going to happen, happened. And what the minor prophets were dealing with, the people were full of injustice. They were not treating one another well. They were disobeying the laws that God had laid down. And then as the priests had added more and more laws, those were broken even more. because you just couldn't keep up with it. You couldn't remember it all. It was too hard to stay in relationship with God when you only had just those few times that you knew and understood. And if you weren't a priest, that was all you had, is just those few times. And as many priests, after all of those years that they were, they took turns. They had a time frame that they were to serve. And that was it. So there was injustice that you can read about. There is injustice right now. There was sickness and desolation that came upon them because God needed to do something about the wrong that was happening. And he said, I'm bringing sickness on you as a people. I am bringing desolation. You are going to be hurting and you are going to be without because of your sin. And then those that were among them that needed the most help, that really needed someone to be beside them and around them and help them, those that were marginalized, compromised, those that had disability, those that were orphaned, those that were widowed, that could not easily take care of themselves because the culture did not really allow for widows to be able to take care of themselves. The authority over them, when that was taken away, someone had to take care of them. And if it was an orphan, there was no one to take care of them. If someone did not step up and stand in, and they were not taking care of those among them, they were in a hard place. I want to spend just a moment more in comparison to salvation then. Was a covenant. And they had to participate in the covenant and look and obey the law. Our salvation, have I mentioned it enough yet? Our salvation starts with what we read in Acts 2:38, that we are to repent and we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And we are to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that is very, very similar to the same covenant, or it is a covenant. Like Israel had a covenant that they needed to participate in to be saved in their time. And we have a covenant that we need to make with our God today, but it is not like the covenant that Israel had. It is more specific. In Romans, thank you, Jordan, for helping me find that, and it came to my mind just as I got here, and I believe that it is the tie together. Romans 2 and 29 says, but he is a Jew. How did they know they were a Jew? They were circumcised. They were of a lineage. But there were others that could choose to be proselytes into the Jewish religion, and they had to be circumcised too. So it was this covenant. But he, I'm reading out of the New King James, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. Our circumcision today in covenant with our God is not physical anymore. It is a circumcision of our heart, cutting away of the flesh that we are born with, cutting away of the fleshly attitudes in our heart. It's our circumcision. This covenant that we have with God is a spiritual covenant. It's inward in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not from the men of God. Our covenant is not unlike theirs, but ours is a circumcision of the heart. Our fleshly desires, our fleshly nature needs to be cut away. And how do we do that? We do that with repentance and washing it away in the baptism, waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we circumcise our heart. That's how we have circumcision of our inward parts, is through participating in that initial salvation process. And then if you look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, we are participating in something that we had nothing to do with except opening our hearts and saying, yes, Lord, I want you. I choose you. We didn't choose him first. He chose us. He looked at us and he knocked on the door of our heart and he said, I want you. And he probably said that before you ever realized that he was drawing you to himself. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 6. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, what are we supposed to do? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When we participate in that circumcision of our heart, we become God's, and we are in relationship with him from that day on. And then turn the page, if you will, chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians and verse 23. Again, ye were bought at a price. Do not become slaves to men. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We don't need to become slaves to this world. This world wants to bring us in as slaves. They want to wrap us up in chains. They want to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. But we don't have to be slaves. Do you remember a few weeks ago? Actually, no, most of this group didn't hear this. God gave me a thought. It was during camp. Because we are to be servants. And God asked me this question. He said, in this relationship, do you feel like a slave? Are you only doing this because you feel bound to it? Because if you feel like a slave, then your heart is not in it. But God asked us in this relationship to be servants. And the Old Testament, and I don't even remember where the text is now. If I'll look it up and I'll tell you later. There was a circumstance where a slave, a Jewish slave, was able to choose if he wanted to stay In the seventh year, all servitude of Jews was cut off and they were allowed to go free. They could go back. But if the servant said, I love my master, heart, I love my master, and I will stay here forever, and they were marked, their ear was drilled through with an awl, which is a very pointed metal instrument that they were marked with. So when God asked me, do you feel like a slave or are you a servant? And I had to think, I had to choose. We all have to choose. Are we going to be a slave or are we going to be a servant? Because a servant has a very different attitude. A servant is willing to do whatever the master says without a fuss. And then looking and thinking about that Old Testament, I am choosing to be your servant forever. They were marked. Can someone look at you and see the mark that God has on you? That you are his forever servant. That you will do whatever needs to be done to be that servant forever. Is there a mark? So, Judah and Israel were judged harshly. Yeah, it was harsh. It was something that, oh my. Reading it today, you think, really, God? Is that what it took? It did. God is holy. He is pure. He is undefiled, and he cannot associate with defilement and unholiness. And if that was what was in Israel and Judah, and if it's in us, he wants to take it out of us. He wants to take it away, wipe it away. And we do that today after that initial plan of salvation. We do that by repentance. We do that with continual laying of our lives at his feet and saying, God, whatever. Take it out of my life because I want to be your servant forever. I don't want to be mixed up in. And so in chapter 6 of Micah 6 and 8. I love these verses. There's about three of them. I know that there's another one in Ecclesiastes. But I love these verses because they are a summary. I don't know. I kind of like the Cliff Notes version of a lot of things. It makes it easy, right? Doesn't make for a very good expounded teaching, I can tell you that, though. Chapter 6. Verse 8 of Micah. He hath showed thee, talking to Jerusalem and Samaria. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good And what doth the Lord require of thee? Now, I want to know what's required of me. I walk into a situation, I want to know what the rules are. Playing a game when I was a little more involved in sports than I am, I want to know what the rules are. Playing a board game, I want to know what the rules are. And you should follow them. I don't know. There's a few things where house rules get created. Yeah. But I love this summary stuff because it really helps us know exactly what it is that we need to do. So, what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly. When we are dealing with those around us, are we doing it justly? Or do we have a different weight? Or scale? Did you know to have an unjust weight was an abomination in the Old Testament? It was more than just wrong. It was forever wrong. You didn't use a false weight. You conducted your business justly. Number two, and to love mercy. Now, why wouldn't you love mercy? We have been given mercy. And if you think you wore it out, then go to bed and get up in the morning and it's all new again. You can't wear out God's mercy. It's new every day. But that perspective is on the receiving end. We all want to receive mercy. But when you love mercy, you are just as willing to give mercy. And that is the hard part. We all want it, but we don't really always like to give it. But we need to give it. We need to give mercy. Number three, and to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly. Never think more of myself than I ought. It's a day to day. God, what can I do for you today? Lord, I don't want to be the most important thing today. I want to do what you want me to do, where you want me to do it, with whom you want me to do it. Who do I need to speak to today? Who do I need to sit beside and put an arm around their shoulder and just be there? Who do I need to give something to? Who do I need to help today? And it's not about us. It's about the needs of those around us. And so even though this is a Cliff Notes version, doesn't mean it's easy. It's not hard to remember, to rehearse, to rattle off. if you read that without stopping, wouldn't take very long at all. But living that takes the heart of a servant. But if you feel like a slave, you're not going to go down that road very far. Because a slave is constantly fighting against the confinement. I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And if we don't want to do it, we won't. Something more tempting. Something more alluring will come along and grab our attention and take it, well, wherever. Wherever. So God gives us mercy. He shows compassion upon us. I've needed mercy. I have felt his compassion. I know that every one of us has needed mercy, and we have felt his compassion. I feel it here today. God loves us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to give us all the chances we need. But he wants us to take that and show it and do it and live it every moment of every day. Is it in your heart to live as he desires? If he asks us to do something, do we say, what? Or as Lillian loves to pop out, that's not a good idea. I don't know how many times it's been told to me, that's not a good idea, Nana. Okay. But it really is a good idea because that's what we need to do. But she has an idea of what she thinks is a good idea. And it has to do with her. Bless her heart, I love her. But we do the same thing. God, I don't think that's a good idea. I really wanted to do this. This is really what I planned to do today. It's not a good idea, God. Because it's not my idea. And God wants us to adapt our idea to his idea. And do this. Do what is required of thee. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly day by day with our Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for looking a look at your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we have the same opportunity every day to make a choice to love you, to serve you, to show and have a mark in our lives that we really do love and serve you. With every moment of every day. Lord, let us hide your word in our hearts, and we give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless you today. And we have a few extra minutes to fellowship before we start the service. And man, am I looking forward to worship together in Jesus' name.